After 3 years on the Government Accountability Office's high-risk list, a satellite program at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has made some progress, but not enough. There's the risk of a launch delay and ongoing cybersecurity issues. Joining me with the latest, Dave Pallner, Director of Information Technology Management Issues at the GAO. And Dave, good to have you back.
Great to be here, Tom.
Now, I guess my first question is, as Director of Information Technology Management Issues, information technology is not the only issue with this particular program, correct?
Correct. There's key weather data that needs to be available through these satellites, and that's one reason why it's on our high list. Risk list is to ensure the availability of this data over time. But also, too, there were key information security issues associated with the ground station. This is the first time we really did a deeper security look at those ground stations.
Yeah, let's start there. These ground stations, this is where the data from the satellite is first received and then processed in some manner?
Correct. And then they're also transmitted around the country, too. So there's uplink and downlinks from the satellites. There's processing that occurs at those ground stations, and then a lot of communication links.
And are these internet-connected, these ground stations?
There's some internet connectivity through that, and there's also some dedicated lines. And what we found was, so there's a current ground station that controls the existing polar satellite that's up there. And then with the launch of March 2017 with the new satellite, they needed a new ground station to control that. So to NOAA's credit, they've done a lot of penetration tests on both the operational ground station and then also on the system that they're building. But the big finding is that there's a lot of critical and high vulnerabilities. When we issued our report earlier this year, there were about 1,500. They've whittled that list down to about 1,200. So we still have a lot of key vulnerabilities that exist. And the reason why it's important, Tom, is there have been incidents to the ground station. There's been some unauthorized access. There's been some hostile probes. They clearly documented 10 of these incidents. So it's been targeted, and you know we really need to address some of the vulnerabilities that are there.
A ground station consists of a large dish and a building or something like that surrounded by a fence, basically?
Yes, correct. And there's, you know, then a lot of computers within those buildings that do, you know, transmit the data and where key processing occurs.
And are these stations physically isolated, like out in the middle of nowhere, like some antennas are, or are these near other larger?
It's kind of a mix when you start looking at where all the data goes. I mean, obviously, you got the up and down links at key locations around the country, but then also that gets networked to the various weather offices and the like. So you have a complicated network. And as you well know, when you have all these communication links, if you have any vulnerability on one, they're all typically exposed. So that's why this is so important.
And is there also information coming from them to the satellites? If you have to tilt it 4 degrees, does the ground station tell it to tilt 4 degrees?
Yeah, there's so when you look at the ground station, there's obviously links that transmit data, but then there's also command and control links that control the spacecraft and everything. And what we're talking about here is typically not the control of the spacecraft, but with the information links.
The vulnerability then is in the data that is collected and then somehow
That is correct. And what's really important here, Tom, is, you know, we've worked real hard, NOAA's worked real hard to be in a position to have better continuity of this weather data. And, you know, now that we get it, you don't want some denial of service or whatever that disrupts key data that's essential to our short-term forecast. You know, and I always like to go back to the Superstorm Sandy. You know, how important is this data? You know, Superstorm Sandy is one of our, it's a little dated now, but it was a great success story where the location, the intensity, and the timing, the forecast was spot on. If you didn't have this polar data for that forecast, it would have showed that storm dying about 100 miles out to sea. So, you know, if you have some security incident that, you know, denies some of the key data there, you know, you could affect those short-term forecasts, which are really important when we have some of these severe storms.
I guess I'm a little puzzled as to what the motivation of someone would be to take that data as opposed to banking data or personal credit card data, that kind of thing. What could you do with weather data other than disruption?
Well, no, Tom. I mean, there's, you know, with the various actors and players, and I can't get into a lot of stuff in a public forum, but, you know, there is disruption is still key for certain folks that are out there. And not that there's monetary gain, but there's certain things you could do just to disrupt key data for the nation.
We're speaking with Dave Pounder, Director of Information Technology Management Issues at the GAO. And also in your report, there are other technical issues with the satellites themselves that could delay this launch?
Yes, correct. So when you look at the satellite, this key satellite that's scheduled for launch in March 2017, note that launch date is still solid, but there's been some interim slips in the ground station delivery. There was a key sensor that's associated with temperature and moisture, and also the spacecraft was a bit delayed. Now, the good news for NOAA is they had some schedule reserve. So even though they had problems with sensors in the ground and the spacecraft in delivering on time, there was enough schedule reserve that they're still holding to that March 2017 launch date. And Tom, the reason that date is so important is the current satellite that's in orbit today had an expected life of October 2016. So if you look at October 2016 to a March launch date, then there's a checkout period from 3 to 6 months. You basically have a year where there's a potential gap. Now, what everyone is banking on is that the operational satellite lasts longer than October 2016. And many components of the operational satellite are functioning very well, but there is one sensor on there that is wearing significantly. And, you know, there's been some discussion about, you know, it would be great to get this satellite up and operational to ensure that the wear on that current sensor does not occur. So we're still hopeful that the operational satellite will last into like mid-2017 when the new one's ready. But that's why it's on our high-risk list. It's real tight in terms of timeline. And even though it's only one sensor, that one sensor is real critical to some of the short-term forecasts.
And this satellite is in polar orbit, and it works in conjunction with satellites, say, operated by NASA and other agencies, but only it can do what it does?
Well, so what happens when you look at the polar constellation, you're absolutely right. There are three orbits, and all three orbits are important to the short-term forecast. There's an orbit controlled by NOAA, one controlled by DOD, and one controlled by the Europeans. And basically what those three orbits do is it gives you weather observations during different times of the day. Now, the one that is most significant to NOAA's forecast is the one they control, which is roughly about 50% of the forecast, what you need. But you need those other two orbits from DOD and the Europeans. And one of the things that was explored at this hearing that we had last week in front of the House Science Committee is there's also some, you know, potential gaps and continuity problems when you look at DOD and European orbits. So really, when you look at that constellation, the polar orbiting satellites, there's some great concerns. We're just playing the margins too close when you look at operational satellites and the delivery of out-year satellites.
I guess there's a little irony in here because the NOAA, through the National Weather Service, has just completed a giant supercomputer upgrade. And yet it seems like there's the danger of starving the supercomputer for the data it needs to live up to its full potential.
Yeah, you know, that's a real good point, Tom. So one of the things with the supercomputer upgrades, when you look at these potential gaps in coverage, one of the there's various contingency plans, right? And that's part of our high-risk report on this area is, obviously, you want to avoid having a gap in coverage. But if you do have a short-term gap in coverage with certain sensors or satellites, what do you do? And one of the things that the Weather Service has really been working on is upgrading their computer capacity and also improvements to their models. So again, that will help from a contingency point of view, but I want to stress too that the polar observations, it's still not a substitute for the polar observations. We really need the polar observations, but the upgrades to the computing capacity, and in particular the weather models, you can actually improve forecasts by improving the accuracy of some of those models, too, and they're working hard on that. And a lot of that came out of the Sandy supplemental funding when all that occurred, and there were some additional funds that went towards some of the contingencies for some of these gaps in coverage.
And these gaps in coverage, are these also partly, could you say, budget-driven in the sense that perhaps NOAA and the other agencies would launch more frequently if they had the budget so that there wouldn't be this close reliance on such tight schedules?
I will say from a NOAA perspective, the issue is probably less budget, Tom, and more their historical performance. You know, we had this tri-agency satellite acquisition called NPOS, which was DOD, NASA, NOAA together. And there were huge overruns, and they were very, with huge slips and launches. And really, these gaps that we're dealing with now are a result of our poor performance in the past and a lot of mismanagement in the past. I think NOAA shored things up. Hopefully, this March 2017 launch date holds, but really, it's more some of the mismanagement in the past that resulted in our current potential gaps.
Dave Pounder is Director of Information Technology Management Issues at the GAO. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
You can read the report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.